Coming up on KUCB News, after no sign of a missing crab boat, the Coast Guard has called off its search for six lost fishermen, and Alaska lawmakers are considering an income tax. Stay tuned.
Local news is sponsored by Alpha Welding and Boat Repair Incorporated, providing boat repairs and conversions in Unalaska Dutch Harbor for the last 25 years. Our professionals are trained to use heavy-duty equipment, including boom trucks, shears, brakes, a water jet cutting machine, and a punch machine. Our fully equipped metal fabrication welding shop and machine shop are located at 1149 East Broadway. Alpha Welding and Boat Repair can be reached at 581-1785 or 581-2666.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Laura Craigle with some local news on Tuesday, February 14th, 2017. After nearly 3 days, the U.S. Coast Guard has called off the search for six fishermen missing since Saturday when their crabbing vessel disappeared in the Bering Sea. Coast Guard officials made the announcement last night after search parties found no sign of the FV destination, apart from a floating tangle of debris that included the boat's emergency beacon, several buoys, and a life ring. The 98-foot vessel was on its way to fish for snow crab Saturday morning when it activated its locator beacon 2 miles northwest of St. George Island. Coast Guard Petty Officer Sean Eggert says a cutter, 5 aircrews, and several volunteer vessels responded to the distress signal, searching more than 5,700 square nautical miles with no luck.
We really don't know what happened out there, so we can't really assume that the vessel sunk or how that may have happened or what may have happened to this crew.
Eggert says the Coast Guard has opened an investigation into what happened. If investigators determine the crew didn't survive, the loss of the destination will be Alaska's deadliest commercial fishing accident since 2008. That's when the FV Katmai sank in the Amchitka Pass on its way to Unalaska. 7 of the Katmai's 11 crew members died in a severe storm after the vessel lost steering power and took on water. Owners of the destination say their boat was in good condition at the time of its disappearance. Michael Barcott is the attorney representing the vessel's principal owner, David Wilson, a fisherman from Sandpoint who now lives in Washington. Barcott says the owners don't know what happened to the destination either.
We'll be working with the Coast Guard to try to sort that out to understand what happened, but right now it is a mystery. Everyone's thoughts and prayers are with the families.
The Coast Guard and the destination's owners have declined to name the lost crew members until all of their families have been consulted. 3 fishermen were rescued yesterday after another boat ran aground near Accutan Harbor. After the U.S. Coast Guard heard reports the fishing vessel Predator was taking on water, Petty Officer John Paul Rios says they launched a rescue by air.
The Coast Guard helicopter got on scene, hoisted 3 individuals off of the vessel, and transported them back to Accutan, and we were told that there was no kind of medical conditions.
The fate of the vessel is less certain. Rios says the Predator ran aground hard, and it's unclear whether it can be repaired.
There was a 8-inch crack in the hull of the vessel. That's what was causing it to take on water. I haven't been notified anything about pollution or anything like that. That's something that we'll definitely still keep an eye on.
At the time of the rescue, Coast Guard officials said winds were blowing 25 miles an hour, while seas swelled to 10 feet. The Unalaska City Council meets tonight with a packed agenda. At the regular session, councilors are set to discuss everything from city budget priorities to a port dredging project to a potential sales tax hike on marijuana and alcohol. The council meets tonight at 6 o'clock at City Hall. Alaskans would pay a tax on income for the first time since 1980 under a bill introduced in the legislature last week. The bill would also draw money from the permanent fund to pay for the state government's budget, and it would set a new formula for permanent fund dividends. APRN's Andrew Kitchenman has the story.
The new bill is the biggest visible sign yet of the shift in the majority of the state House of Representatives. Income tax proposals went no further than committee hearings under the previous Republican-led House majority, but the new, mostly Democratic majority may advance the bill quickly. Homer Representative Paul Seaton is one of 3 Republicans who switched caucuses. He also helped write the new legislation, House Bill 115.
The basic question is, what kind of Alaska do you want to live in? And our constituents have told us that they want to see an Alaska that has a thriving economy, that has good schools, that has troopers in the court system running well. And without some kind of a deficit reduction, broad-based, comprehensive plan, we don't get that.
The bill would set the income tax at 15% of federal liability. For example, a couple with taxable income of $75,000 would pay about $10,000 in federal taxes and $1,500 in state taxes. The bill would give Alaskans the option of using some or all of their permanent fund dividends to pay the tax. The bill would draw a little under 5% annually from the permanent fund, from the fund's earnings account. That's a little less than Governor Bill Walker has proposed. One-third of that money would go to PFDs. That would allow dividends to be $1,100 this year, more than the roughly $1,000 Walker proposed.
The majority caucus in the House formed around the principle of passing a comprehensive, sustainable fiscal plan. And so that's what we have.
Seaton says the bill includes three of the pillars of the new House majority, including new revenue, a draw on the permanent fund, and changing permanent fund dividends. The fourth element is budget cuts and changes to the oil and gas tax system. He says the income tax provides balance by requiring higher income residents to contribute, while the PFD cut affects lower income residents more.
This plan balances those two aspects so that all families across Alaska are participants and have skin in the game.
The bill would also tax capital gains at 10%. Seaton says his goal was to tax the sale of stocks and bonds at a similar rate as income. The bill drew swift opposition from minority caucus Republicans. Anchorage Representative Lance Pruitt objected to the bill being sponsored by the House Finance Committee. He says it would be wrong to add an income tax during a recession.
Now you understand why I don't want my name associated with this. Now you understand why I don't want to have anything to do with a bill that's going to look in a time when people are struggling to say, we need more money from you.
Wasilla Republican Representative Kathy Tilton says House Finance Committee co-chairman Seaton and Nome Democrat Neil Foster shouldn't have used their authority to introduce the bill as committee-sponsored legislation.
Just because you can doesn't mean you should. Regardless of what's been done in the past does not preclude a new standard of decorum.
Senate leaders, including Fairbanks Republican Senate President Pete Kelly, have also said they're opposed to an income tax. The Senate majority supports $750 million in cuts over 3 years and a constitutional limit on spending. But Seaton says the public is willing to pay a tax to avoid deep cuts to government that he says would harm the economy. He noted that Alaskans paid 16% of federal liability before the income tax was abolished. And he pointed to a Senate majority poll that found support for a broad-based tax. The bill is scheduled for hearings on Tuesday and Wednesday, and for public testimony Friday. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Laura Craigle, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.